It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's July 20th and 21st, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to all my athletic friends who joined me on the Prouty bike ride for the Norris Cotton Cancer Center, and that was last Saturday. A great turnout always for Dartmouth-Hitchcock, a great Delta Dental team. We do it in honor of a former board member, Bruce Johnstone, who recently passed away of cancer. So everybody was decked out in their Delta Dental bike shirt. And, of course, when you're riding by, I did the 50-miler, and several people were passing me, but they all said hello, so which was great. But this weekend show, I have three esteemed gentlemen with me, former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice John Broderick, Russ Conte, and John Stevens. And we're going to be talking about the Helia Safety Symposium on Behavioral Health, and also, of course, talk about mental health in general, something that John and I have been on the road a lot on, and I think more and more people are getting it, whether it's, Kevin Love, talking about it. It's just people are more comfortable talking about it, and we'll get into that. So, gentlemen, why don't you, starting with you, John, why don't you, John Stevens, introduce yourself and your role with the symposium?
Well, thanks, Tom. Thank you once again for hosting us. It's hard to believe that this is the fourth annual event. But I am the co-chair of the Helia Symposium. The symposium is named after Nick Helias, who was a major with the state police, but also the police chief at the University of New Hampshire. And we do this in his honor because he also sat on the Board of Trustees for the Community College System of New Hampshire. So between the community colleges and the University of New Hampshire, this is a joint effort in offering this symposium. And we're very happy to do that. Again, this year, August 15th, at 8 o'clock at the University of New Hampshire, we'll be hosting the fourth annual Helia Symposium.
Perfect. Russ?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. Russ Conte. I'm the mental health coordinator for State Police, and I'm also on the NAMI Board of Directors and National Alliance for Mental Illness. And I'm real happy to be here. And I think the thing that gratifies me the most is not only what's occurred over the last couple of years on just us, the three of us, and certainly Judge Broderick, in breaking down those areas that that stigma so affected people that are suffering, but also to know that, this year's symposium is focused on that ability to intervene in a crisis and suicide prevention. Some of the things that I think we're all very aware of, we're also very fearful of. And I think being able to come in, bring the people that we have together to be able to share this kind of information in the forum that the Helia Symposium has become is personally gratifying. And I think it's also a tremendous service to the people that live and visit in New Hampshire.
Awesome. Thanks, Russ. And Justice Broderick.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Tom, with these guys. They deserve the credit. But I want to just say to your listeners how important this forum is and will remain. And the discussion of suicide, while never pleasant, is really more timely than ever. And I didn't realize myself, but I do now, that first responders, police and fire especially, have a higher rate of suicide than the rest of the population. It's not surprising considering what they see and do every day and the stress they work under every day. And in New Hampshire, I think we can be pretty proud of what the state police are doing or are trying to do currently with their own ranks as it relates to mental health, behavioral health. It's a pretty important topic, and it cannot be discussed enough. And with the military, with the fire and police, much like the military, Tom, these are tough men and women that are taught to be resilient and self-reliant. And sometimes we bury feelings that we otherwise would deal with because we're afraid of the stigma that goes with it. So hopefully this forum will help continue the effort to break down those walls.
And I just want to give you a big shout out, John, because I know you've put on probably 200,000 miles in your car going to schools, going to businesses, and seeing you in action. And we've participated in several conferences, and invariably when you start the conference with, you know, this is the man that was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, but John says his most important thing that he's done in his life actually is this mental health awareness through changedirection.org. So I want to give you a shout out. And also, it's, and you know this, John, when we start each one of our conferences and we say how many people in this audience have been directly or indirectly affected by mental health, by themselves or their family, every hand goes up in the room. So it's certainly, certainly a topic of importance. So John Stevens, back to you. So I've participated in the past or have attended. I know the first one, there was the very inspirational speaker from Virginia Tech, and that was held at NHGI. So let's start with the basics in terms of the location, and is the public welcome to, you know, to attend, and the date?
Yeah, absolutely. The public certainly is invited to this symposium, certainly geared towards first responders and the college environment. But as we all speak about this issue, mental health is a concern for all of us. So we want to make sure that we address all aspects of that. Again, it's at the University of New Hampshire on August 15th. It's in the Memorial Union Building. It begins at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it's a full day of presentations, which we have geared our presentations so that in the past, we're talking with individuals, and individuals who are presenting based on real life situations, people who have experienced the issues that we're talking about. And in this symposium, over the last couple of years, which we really feel that we have found our source of information in regards to providing this symposium each year based on mental health awareness as it affects first responders, as it affects college students and the college atmosphere, but also the general public as well. So certainly anyone who is interested in this, we have a seating capacity, but we're reaching that fairly closely. But we're certainly asking anyone who may be interested in attending this symposium to certainly go online to the Haley Symposium at ccsnh.edu, and you can certainly make your registration known.
Thanks, John. Now, Russ, first of all, thank you for all your service to the state, and I hear you on the airwaves a lot, and
thank
I'm
you.
Always impressed with the compelling service that you've done. So from your perspective, how do you see the troopers dealing with this issue, both for themselves as well as when they confront it? Because I know when John Broderick and I spoke at a police association conference, simple things like that, you know, like when they show up for a call, not having a resource card to get leave with the family in terms of, you know, contacts. And so we spent several months developing that. But from your perspective, do you see this growing, and do you see the troopers willing to talk about it as well in terms of both themselves and what they encounter?
Absolutely. And, you know, as you know, I retired as a major from the state police, and over the last 33 years, there's a few things certainly that I saw in the beginning that I wanted to change. And, you know, I'm happy to stand before you today and say that a lot has changed, and troopers with the state police now have resources they never had before. And I think the most important thing is we started inward facing, and we're really worried about, you know, what is the mental health, what is that well-being that the state police has, because in order to deliver the service they need to deliver at the level they need to deliver it, they need to be healthy and whole. And I think we took that and we now have kind of faced it outward. And we're able to not only draw in the connections of agencies like the Suicide Prevention Council in the state and the National Alliance on Mental Illness and you know, the Change Direction, all the things that we know need to face in. But I think the thing that I found over the last year and a half or so that I've been specializing in this area of mental health is that, you know, we still have a ways to go. I mean, there's a lot more that people are aware of. There's a lot more that first responders are aware of. And you know, when you talk about troopers, you're talking about first responders as a whole. You're, you know, whether you're a law enforcement officer, a firefighter, an EMT, emergency communication specialist, whatever it is that you do, you're affected by these things. And unfortunately, in the situations where there's deaths by suicide, everyone feels helpless and hopeless. And unfortunately, you know, that resonates very well with the people that are left behind. So not only are we providing services, and as we are at the symposium, we're showcasing what's called the Connects program from NAMI, which is really the gold standard in the nation. you know, to help people deal and develop coping skills, and how do you develop some resiliency after the fact. And I think those are the things that are very, very important, and I think the troopers recognize it. The thing that I get some of the most joy out of is seeing troopers that not only become whole and heal themselves, but they provide a service where people get back to them and tell them, you know, that person provided a service. They went above and beyond. They didn't have to be as compassionate as they were. They didn't have to go the extra mile. They didn't have to do all things, but they did. And I think first responders as a whole, and certainly troopers within the state police, are programmed to help. And to give them the tools to help better, to give them the ability to feel confident in using those skills is that, you know, that's something I've waited a long time to see, and I'm very, very happy and proud for the state police as a whole in the state that we're delivering it at that level.
Thank you, Major, and I think it's great the way you put that. You know, you're ending up with more compassionate troopers, and it starts with them understanding themselves. I love the way you put that. So, Justice Broderick, as I mentioned, you've put on about 200,000 miles on your car in the last couple of years. So just kind of your general observations, a lot of those visits are with schools, also some employers, like we had the 99 Faces earlier this week. But what's your sort of general observation? Are the students willing to share with you? And do you think their parents are understanding how it's not just the suicides that we talk about, but kind of like the silent suffering of someone that may be a great athlete, but still feeling the pressures, and because he or she is supposed to be like an A student, super athlete, and no one to talk with?
Every time, Tom, you talk about how many miles I've driven, I'm happy I don't rent my car. I couldn't afford to turn it in. What I have learned is this, is that mental health challenges exist across our society. Nobody's immune from them. I see it in the eyes and the tears of kids in high school gyms and auditoriums. A couple of weeks ago, we had a forum at Dartmouth-Hitchcock as part of the 99 Faces. It was law enforcement, the courts, and mental illness. The AG from New Hampshire and Vermont were there, the chief justices from both states, the senior safety officials. And it's a huge issue. And so the best way to begin to deal with it is to talk about it openly and honestly and without shame. And Russ and John and the entire state police in the state, I think, are ahead of the curve. I really admire them for what they're doing. Just share a couple of statistics, Tom, which shocked me, but when you think about it, they shouldn't. More police officers and first responders last year died by suicide than every single cause in the line of duty. Think about that. They see and do things we don't see and do. We drive by the accident scene. We don't go to the crime scene. They do. And they're not hollow. They're real people. And so I think it's a new day here, and particularly in the state police in New Hampshire, and based on the program we had up at Dartmouth-Hitchcock, I learned a lot about what they're doing. And Russ and John ought to be pretty proud of it. Last year in America, 47,000 people, Tom, took their own life. It's more than died in every car crash in America. A suicide is the second leading cause of death for people between the ages of 10 and 34. I didn't know that. It's about time we started talking about it. And the state police, when they go out in their everyday jobs, they deal with people who have mental health problems, so they need to be pretty well schooled and trained about the problems others have and how to de-escalate that, which I'm sure is part of what they're doing. But they also need to be bold enough and smart enough to say, hey, I have problems. It's okay to have problems. Help is possible. So I think this forum is fabulous. I was proud to be part of it last year. I think it's really important what you're doing. And great. I hope people come out.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental on this July 20th and 21st. And with me is former Chief Justice John Broderick. Russ Conchi, retired major from the state police, and I hear him a lot on the radio waves, and John Stevens. And John, let's start with you again in terms of the specifics on the Helia Safety Symposium, and then let's also talk about the morning keynote from Craig Miller, who's an author. This is How It Feels, Attempting Suicide and Finding Life.
Yeah, of course. The symposium is being held on August 15th. It begins at 8 o'clock in the morning. The opening address will be from Governor Sununu, because he is completely supportive of this symposium and what we're trying to attain here. Registration is online, very easy to do. Just go to ccsnh.edu/halius, and you'll be able to register for this event. We're very excited this year to have Craig Miller, who is an author who, through his own personal life experiences, can talk about basically how the thought of suicide has affected him and has been renowned for going around the country and speaking in that regard. Russ very quickly mentioned the Connects program through NAMI, which will be a presentation as well. And we also have Delcina Kaufman, who's the director and chair of the nursing department at Great Bay Community College, talking about understanding and supporting students with mental health concerns. And again, in the afternoon, we are extremely excited to have Justin Spencer from Recycle Percussion also speak to his personal life experiences in regards to mental health conditions. So we really believe, like past years, that the individuals that are presenting the topics at hand come with personal experiences in regards to how suicide prevention and the thoughts of suicide have affected them. So we are very pleased and proud to be able to present this forum under the Halia Symposium.
And I think the fact that they will share their personal experience, I mean, John Broderick and I will definitely attest to this when we've put on other conferences and when, you know, very famous national CEOs and other very recognizable people talk about it, it has such an impact because it's not just someone, you know, talking about it from a textbook, you know, perspective. Back to Russ. So Russ, when you talked about your 30-year career at the State Police, so when probably 30 years ago, and, you know, John Broderick and I talk about this a lot. You know, we're not going to rest on this topic until we talk about mental health in the same way we talk about meniscus surgery. But were things sort of on the QT? And when did you see kind of like the tipping point where troopers were more willing to talk about, you know, what their feelings, and then in turn, once they feel better, how the, you know, to address some of the things that they see?
Well, I was lucky enough to start a peer counseling program in the State Police and work with the staff at the time and with support of Commissioner Barthamus and Colonel Quinn at the time. And I think that was a turning point. That was a pivotal point where we started and we got a group of troopers, you know, peer-to-peer counseling unit, got them trained and started to look at this. And that was roughly 12 years ago that we started looking at it. The peer counseling unit took a little while to get going. But in the last 10 years, I'd say it's a significant change. But I will tell you, even in the last couple of years, we've really bumped it up, and the game has gotten much better. And the reason I say that is because now we also have crisis intervention training. We have a grant with NAMI. We have people that have lived experience from In Your Own Voices at NAMI. We have troopers and law enforcement officers across the country and first responders willing to speak. And I think, you know, the last 10 years has been a real revelation. It's been a rebirth of a lot of what emergency responders and first responders have felt and dealt with for decades. And you have a lot of experience. John Stevens is a longtime state police officer, also retiring at the rank of lieutenant long before I was, and there was absolutely nothing when he was here. So, I mean, to see that change, to be here long enough to see those changes and to see it come through and be fruitful, and also have it timed with, you know, everything that's going on in mental health, all the support from the governor's office. And Governor Sununu has been fabulous, not only with first responders, but with mental health issues in general and how that crosses over into opioid and homelessness and all the other things. You know, it's not siloed anymore. It can't be. So I think that's the best that I've seen.
That's another great point, how it's all connected, you know, homelessness, the opioid addiction, and when you're out there enough and you see all these, you know, these connections. So, John, the National Association of Mental Alliance, I mean, you've talked about NAMI. They've been a great resource for you?
Absolutely a great resource for us. And we are very dependent on their assistance with this symposium. So shout out to them and thank them very much for their assistance.
And back to John Broderick. So, John, when we made that presentation to the police association, and you know, one of the things they were saying when they run into a family in crisis, and oftentimes, you know, the family is trying to reach out to them with resources. We came up with that Rat Card, and I know NAMI was part of the resources, and I know that between your changedirection.org card and the resource Rat Card, I think you put on 200,000 miles. Thank God not 200,000 pounds. And probably 200,000 of these cards have been gone out, right?
It's been amazing, Tom. And you never give yourself credit for any of this, but you should. Delta Dental was there on those Rat Cards. You were the first person I went to see when I was trying to raise money for Change Direction. You were the first person to donate. So I appreciate your help. What I've realized is things are not siloed as they once were, and so now we can be honest. So a lot of domestic violence, not all of it, a lot of it has a basis in mental health. Abuse and neglect of children has a basis often in mental illness, violence, drugs. It's time we all grew up. And I think Commissioner Barthelmess, who just recently left, he really understood it, as Russ and John do, and Commissioner Quinn gets it too. He and I had a nice lunch, and he's really committed to this. So I think for the state police, men and women there were pretty tough with huge responsibilities to talk about it and deal with it. It's a great example for the rest of us. If these folks can deal with it and talk about it, we should be able to as well.
It's a great way of putting it. So the areas of concentration on the symposium will be what makes suicide different, people left behind after suicide, what support is provided, the stigma, shame, isolation, professional help available, and a friend in need. And Justin from Recycle Percussion will be speaking in the afternoon from his personal perspective. So let's wrap up. 30 seconds from each of you. And first of all, let me just say I feel like honored I'm even in the same room with you gentlemen. You all have served the state so well, either in as a police officer or in the criminal justice system. So and the fact that you're now onto this topic. And when Justice Broderick approached me, like, he sets the record. He beat Silvio Dupuy's record. He got $10,000 out of me in 30 seconds. It took Sil like 2 minutes. So because above the neck health, we've got to connect the head to the body. I speak about that with oral health, and I speak with that with mental health. And I know I'm not going to stop this crusade, and I use that in a positive way, until we talk about mental health in the same way that we do about meniscus surgery. So, Russ, a couple words?
Sure. I mean, I think the best thing, Tom, is first, thanks again for all, the exposure that you bring to it and all the commitment that you have. But I think, you know, the best way I can put this is if you talk to people that are out there, if you go to a get-together for NAMI, if you go to the walk that happens every October, you'll see that this is a movement. There's a lot of people involved in a lot of different places. I'm very proud that first responders and law enforcement officers and the state police is involved, because that's where it all needs to be. It is a support and commitment in its totality, and it's something that has to be looked at from all angles. And if we're going to make a change, we have to not only erase stigma, we have to support people that are suffering. We have to make sure that there are, there are outlets and there are different ways of doing business in the court system and in other areas. They're going to help people through these times, because you just never know. And I could tell you many times I've thought myself, you could easily trade places with any one of these people.
All right. Yeah, but the grace of God. John, and give us, the date and the contact.
August 15th at the University of New Hampshire, beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning. The website or the online registration can be found at ccsnh.edu/halius. We certainly encourage anyone who may be interested to participate and attend. And as a current member of the Board of Trustees for the Community College System of New Hampshire, along with Chief Paul Dean at the University of New Hampshire, this has been a combined effort between the two institutions, and we're very proud to be able to honor this in the name of Nick Halius.
That's great, and the community college system, love it. Connie Wojciechowski, who works with me at Delta Dental, obviously has been a trustee, and in October there's going to be a symposium that the community college system's on. I'm bringing in a speaker named Roy Spence on purpose-driven, so I think you guys will like that. The title of this symposium, Behavior Health Intervention, Recognizing and Responding to Mental Health Crisis in the Moment. Justice Broderick, without you putting this on the front burner for all of us, we wouldn't have progressed as far. I know we keep moving the ball forward. But thank you as well for all you've done for the community of New Hampshire.
Thank you, Tom. I hope people will come out to this. They'll be inspired and informed, and they will realize what we all need to realize. Mental health issues are health issues and not personal weaknesses.
As you like to say, no one wants to get diabetes, and no one wants to have mental health issues. John, Russ, and Justice Broderick, thank you very much.